Hi, everyone. Welcome to episode 18 of the Masari Podcast. I am your host, Catherine Wu, and we are here weekly to deliver you short and sweet discussions of what we're thinking about in the crypto space. No lack of news for the crypto space, as always. This week's guest is Tian Li, who is one of the three co-founders of DDEX. DDEX is one of the largest decentralized exchanges by volume. Both Masari's Chow and Ryan muse on the DDEX fork in today's issue of Unqualified Opinions and what that means in the context of on-chain governance. So make sure you're subscribed to Masari's newsletter to read it. Keeping this intro short since the conversation actually is super interesting. So without further ado, here it is. I'm here today with Tian Li, who's the co-founder of DDEX and Hydro Protocol. Hi, Tian.
Hi, how's it going? Good to be here.
I'm glad to have you on. So DDEX over 2018, I think, was one of the bigger DEXs. And one of the major news from this past week is that DDEX decided to fork away from the 0x protocol, which I guess was what you guys were building on, to carry on with your own implementation of the protocol called Hydro. So, you know, before we dive into that, let's just sort of start from the bigger picture first, since I have you on, which is what are some of the problems that decentralized exchanges run into? And how do you think, you know, as a decentralized exchange, you can compete with centralized exchanges?
Yeah, those are great questions to start. So I think after a year of like working on DDEX, it's pretty obvious there three main problems. Like the first one is, I think, usability. They're very hard to use and unintuitive, just as any other dApp. And I think the second one is that they're relatively slow and expensive relative to centralized exchanges. And that might just be a permanent feature because, you know, like if you are settling every trade, it's just not going to be as efficient, right? And I think the third one is that this is more like a symptom than a cause, but just like because of a myriad of other problems, decentralized exchanges have a lack of liquidity, right? So there's a lot of times, you know, although it lists like a certain trading pair, like you're still unable to buy like the amount of tokens you have, or, you know, like you have a very terrible spread, right? So, you know, there's an overview, I would say usability, scalability, and liquidity, right? That's the three biggest problems. And the second part of your question is like how to compete with centralized exchanges. I think on the usability and liquidity side, it could definitely reach and potentially surpass centralized exchanges. I think in terms of efficiency, it will any decentralized stack would just always be less efficient than a centralized stack, right, by nature. And so I think like the way we think about it is we can't directly compete on all assets, but it is more interesting to find things that centralized exchanges cannot do. And we think there exists another set of use cases. For example, just trading without breaking the cold wallet barrier, so out of and into your ledger without actually decreasing security, right? So that's a unique feature of decentralized exchanges. In addition, I think they interact very well with DeFi protocols and other contracts. So these are like use cases that are outside the realm of centralized exchanges. So I think it would be good to try to surpass centralized exchanges on things that it cannot do well, right? And maybe leave the efficiency to centralized exchanges.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are a lot of really exciting aspects to decentralized exchanges. And even though we might not be at like the prime time, I think it's sort of like a Pandora's box, right? It's like once this tech is released, it's just really hard to sort of put that back. And I think that's actually really exciting. So thank you for that overview. So, you know, moving on to, I think, what people are really interested in, which is the decision to leave or fork the 0x protocol. You know, can you just walk me through sort of the decision-making process and also go into the difference between the Hydro protocol, which I believe you guys developed, and 0x?
Sure. We can. So the whole history of DDEX is exactly 1 year. So almost exactly a year ago, I sat with my co-founders, David and Bowen, just the three of us, and we were trying to figure out how to build a decentralized exchange just for fun and learning. And at the time, we thought the best way to do it was to utilize the 0x protocol. So we shipped DDEX in 6 weeks. And the fact that we didn't have to write our own smart contracts made that really appealing. and really fast, right? And but like once we shipped the first version of DDEX, we iterated on it. But within a matter of months, maybe 3 months, we got to a point where although the product isn't perfect, we realized that DDEX itself is no longer the low-hanging fruit of this problem stack. And we thought there were two major problems. One is above the DApp layer, which is these wallets. They're MetaMasks and the mobile wallets. They're still rather hard to use. And the other problem lies below is that we believe that these decentralized these contracts could be further optimized. Right? So we thought we'll just wait for someone else to optimize the contract using Xerox the software, and we'll work on the layer above. So then we spent another couple of months working on our mobile iOS and Android app in the effort to try to increase usability. And we also put a lot of effort into the onboarding tutorial and local wallet process. So we got around, it was around July when we realized that we were running out of low-hanging fruit things to do. And we really wanted to tackle problems at the smart contract layer. So we started messing around with our own internal forks of various ideas of to improve the decentralized exchange. But we were still really unsure because we didn't really want to take on any more problems than we had to. It's great if we could just use, you know, you will never write your own database, right? And you will never write your own payment system. You just use Stripe and you'll use MySQL. So our philosophy is to do the least amount possible. I think our decision was made when Xerox 2.0 came out and we looked at it. And it added a lot of cool new features like non-fungible tokens and support for a lot of like modularity. But for existing use cases like the one for DDEX, it didn't add as many features that we thought it could, right? And so this is just a question of priority. And we thought, okay, this is cool. I think Xerox is covering a lot of cool use cases and a lot of ground. But we know this one use case very well, which is the use case of trying to make a better relayer. So at that moment, we decided to go ahead and make our own version. And this was in October. I think it was October 9th or 10th. It was the day that one of our, the one exchange that was the most similar to DDEX called Paradex launched. We looked at their implementation and the way they use Xerox 2.0. And at that moment, we made up our mind to write the Hydro protocol. So that's the brief history of how we got here.
Sure. That makes sense to me. And so the follow-up is, you know, and the thought process all makes sense, but, you know, why did you specifically want to remove the Xerox token?
Sure. So it's really funny because that was just almost a footnote in our announcement. And although it just, I think tokens have are very powerful at capturing the imagination and conversations of people. I think the Xerox token was one of the maybe 8 things we really wanted to change about the protocol, right? But it grabbed probably all the conversation. And just to be clear, so we are neutral on this stance of so-called governance tokens, right? So I don't think we have enough information to express an opinion of whether governance is useful or useless. But one thing we do know is that the Xerox being used as a fee token, that just added a lot more extra work on our part. So we actually had to, you know, maybe 10% of the DDEX code base is ways to get around the fact that you have to take fees with Xerox. And so we just figured removing that token saves us dev time at the smart contract level, and it saves us time at up the stack. And, you know, we made this very general a claim that the Xerox token adds friction for users, relayers, and market makers. So I think that one removing it, which is a purely utility choice.
Mm-hmm. So along with the announcement, so I know you wrote a blog post on Medium essentially announcing the decision, and Will Warren, who's a co-founder of Xerox, also wrote something on the Xerox blog. And he, you know, he was sort of like, you know, I totally understand why DDEX, you know, did what they did, and that, you know, rolling out their own contracts is sort of a way to establish an edge. What is the edge that you think Hydro can provide over other protocols?
Yeah, so DDEX was in essence, a series of hacks that we've accumulated to try to solve one single problem, right? And this problem is that for decentralized exchanges, by default, if you match orders on chain, so who determines which orders gets matched first is the blockchain itself. So let me rephrase that. So basically, you have an order and two people wants it. So who gets it first, right? So in a centralized exchange, it's first come, first serve, right? It's a very standard sort of time, price, priority queue. For a decentralized exchange, because things happen in blocks, a bunch of transactions is included in the block and then they get executed, right? So who gets executed first and who gets included in the block? So we all know that it happens with a gas auction mechanism. So whoever pays the most gas gets in first, right? And so what's interesting is that we were looking at decentralized exchanges and we realized that a lot of the features and sort of the hybrid models and clever tricks are going to be temporary. What I mean is that as the Ethereum blockchain increases in performance and throughput, a lot of these things may become very unnecessary. So maybe one day we don't need to host these off-chain order books because we just move them on-chain because by then Ethereum will be cheap and fast. But this issue of basically having the blockchain coordinate order, that one is fundamental. So because as long as you have this gas auction mechanism, it is always going to be an unfair way to order sort of priority, right? And so there are two terms that comes to mind, right? One is called order collision. The other one is called front running. And these things basically is a way to express the problem that you have two transactions and it's just very hard to order them correctly. And so by taking this ordering problem off chain, so that was the notion of DDEX, of Paradex and IDEX, right? So there's this batch of relayers that realized that if you did off-chain matching, you could get much better performance and more fairness and much more liquidity as a result of it. So that's the starting point of it. So what's interesting is that you could, the first version of DDEX proves this, you could do this on 0x. We just had to do it in a very sort of second citizen sort of way. So like the way our analogy was that, you know, you have this game, Warcraft 3, right? And then you want to build some tower defense game. So you make a custom map editor and then you make a mod of this game, right? And then you're playing this game and you realize, oh, this game could be more fun than the original game that's intended, right? And so so you've accidentally created Dota. And I think, you know, we just thought it was a good idea to take this custom map and then rewrite it natively. So what Hydro is a first order implementation of the matching model at its core. And we think that gives it certain benefits. So we believe we have a better fee structure and a actually usable trustless market order or semi-trustless market order and a few other features that will be very apparent to relayer builders. So it's very interesting. It's like, you know, like you have actually three users when you're building a decentralized exchange protocol. You have your normal consumer users who are basically using it as a dApp. You have the people who are actually trying to build these dApps. And then you have liquidity providers and consumers. And I think they all have very different needs. And so our documentation and our pitch is more targeted towards liquidity providers and relayer builders. So we don't have a very simple story of for a user, you know, maybe DDEX will only be incrementally better, but for the people who are trying to build DDEX and other relayers, I think they will understand the fundamental improvements of a native matching model implementation.
Yeah, that makes sense. And very excited to see what else you guys have in store and what the next year looks like for you. So before we wrap up, just one last question. Just looking ahead, would you ever consider building a DEX on another chain? Because I understand right now it's built on Ethereum. And I know this might be a hard question to answer, but just sort of like, what's your initial reaction?
Yeah, I think definitely. So there's two reasons, right? One is that, you know, exchanges are sort of this network effect entity. So the bigger the network. So basically, if you think about token as basic data packets on these networks, you know, maybe each blockchain is its own intranet, and only if you connect other chains, you get the internet equivalents, right? And so cross-chain exchange of tokens is going to be fundamental. So that's like a long-term view. For the short-term view, I think it would be very interesting to try to build decentralized exchange protocols for chains with different properties, because I'm not excited. Like, you know, some people express doubt whether these maybe high TPS chains are secure enough, right? But like leaving that aside for a second, they, at the very minimum, they act as good previews of what Ethereum could be, right? So if you believe in the roadmap of Ethereum 2.0, but you don't get to see it until three years later, maybe now's the time to experiment on some of these newer chains, right? Because you can see what a DEX feels like under a very high TPS, a very short block time scenario, right? So even if these chains turn out to be insecure, I think you could still sort of demo the possibility of a better Ethereum in the future, right? So I think if you are long smart contracts and higher power VMs, then I think experimenting on different chains, I think, is definitely a good idea. But with that said, I think it's very important to be focused, right? So at the end of the day, a decentralized startup is still a startup. And I think a startup can only do two or three things at a time. So I think if the moment comes, we'll definitely be happy to explore. But we think even on Ethereum, we have not conquered all the low-hanging fruits of DEXs. And there's still probably at least a year's worth of optimization left to build a better basic, just very, very primitive DEX. I think there's still a lot of work to be done.
Yeah. And like I said, excited to see what you guys do in the next year. Well, that wraps up my questioning. Thank you so much for being on, Tien.
Yeah, thank you for inviting us. It's great to chat.
And that wraps up this week's podcast. Thanks for listening. And as always, feel free to share your thoughts by tweeting at us at Messari Crypto. That's M-E-S-S-A-R-I Crypto. If you like this podcast, tell your friends about it. And don't forget to give the show a rating if you find it to be helpful. Next week, we'll be taking a break from our regular programming. So in the meantime, happy holidays and happy new year. I'll see you guys back in 2019.